Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, November 13th, and we're glad to be able to bring this broadcast to you and thankful to those of you that are listening by way of WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We appreciate being able to come to your place of listening. I thank the Lord for His blessings, the good days that we've had, and I thank the Lord for giving us a good weekend. Amen. This past week, we went back to North Carolina and were there for the birth of our newest grandson on November the 7th, on Tuesday. Little Jordan David Shepherd made his entrance into the world. He is the son of Benjamin and Whitney Shepherd. Ben and Whitney got married just a little over 4 years ago. And they came out here and celebrated their first year anniversary as I became the pastor of the Island Ford Baptist Church. And now they've been married 4 years and just had their first child. They lost a child last year and had their first one born, and we're grateful for that. They've named him Jordan David Shepherd. David is Benjamin's middle name, great name, and they're going to call him Jordan. And so we're blessed and thankful for that. She had some problems in her pregnancy. She had a lot of problems with high blood pressure and then fluid retention, swelling of her feet and legs, and really all over, but particularly those. And if you will pray for her, that those will go away. Her blood pressure is doing better. They had put her in the hospital with some thoughts that they might have to take the baby early, and actually began inducing her labor on Monday, but the baby wasn't born until Tuesday night at 10:45. And so she had a long time there, but the child's doing well, and we got to spend some time with them and enjoy that as well. And what a blessing that it was. And then be able to gather in here on yesterday, and we had our Thanksgiving dinner, church-wide Thanksgiving dinner yesterday, and had a good time. We had a good service, I felt like, in the AM service. And then we had a good time, not only around the Word of God, but around the table as well. And we enjoyed that. And what a blessing it is to be able to gather with family, church family, and give thanks unto God for His bountiful blessings in our life. Amen. And so we did that yesterday and had a good time. And then today's been a good day. Hope you've had a good day as well. Let me mention a couple of things by way of announcement, and then we'll get ready to head right into prayer time and some things to pray about. Do pray for Sister Kim Barnett's family. Her brother that I mentioned a request for last week, her brother did pass away, and having his funeral today. And so we'd like to remember the family there. The family name is Hagen, and of course, Miss Kim Barnett is her brother. And so we want to pray for her and her family there as well, that the Lord would strengthen and help, and that the gospel might go forth. Some that don't know Christ might get saved before it is too late. And those that are saved have the comfort of the Holy Spirit in this time of their need. Also, I heard about a great preacher that passed away, Brother Hawkins. And hate to hear that he has passed away. And want to remember their family, the Hawkins family, in prayer as well. I ask the Lord to help them and strengthen them. An elderly man and a good man of God. Stood faithful through the years. And we're grateful for that. Pastored over in Tennessee. And so we want to remember him, and or not him, but his family, in prayer at this time. Also, they're having revival meeting, a mini revival, they're calling it, over at the Pleasant View Baptist Church in McQuaidy, Kentucky, tonight at 7 o'clock. I believe the services are at 7, Monday through Wednesday. Brother Billy Mitchell is preaching from Jamestown, Tennessee. Brother Mitchell will be with us on Sunday morning and Sunday night, this upcoming Sunday, the 19th. But he's in the revival at McQuaidy, Kentucky, at Pleasant View Baptist Church tonight through Wednesday. And I'd like to give you an invitation to go and be with them and be in prayer about their meeting. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. If you will, pray with us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you, Father, for the good day you gave us yesterday in the house of God, the fact that Brother and Sister Hall both were able to be with us and seem to be doing well. Thank you, Father, for your touch in their life, and I do pray that you'd continue to touch and strengthen and help them to their needs. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to gather in with the saints and enjoy a time of fellowship around the table, as well as fellowship around the Word of God, and Lord, for helping us in the preaching of the Word of God on the Lord's Day. And then the celebration time that we had around the table with the Thanksgiving meal, we're grateful for that. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing Ben and Whitney to have a little boy, have a baby in their life, a child that will forever change their life. Father, I pray bless and strengthen and help them in that. Little Jordan, Lord, I pray help him to grow and be healthy. Help them to get the rest they need and be able to raise him in the way that's right and pleasing unto the Lord. To raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray point him in the right way to go and help him that when he's old he'll not depart from it. Father, I ask you that you'd meet the different needs now. We've got folks here that are raising children, need the same prayer. We've got folks here that are planning and looking forward to having children, and Lord, they need the same prayer. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help them in these cases as well. I do pray, Lord, that you'd bless them over at McQuady, Kentucky, and the meeting there as Brother Mitchell preaches this week. I pray you'd bless that and bless the good pastor there, Lord, and help Brother Massengale and use him for your glory and honor as well. Father, I pray that you'd just meet the different needs. Thank you, Father, for having Brother Kuhn be able to preach over in Beaver Dam yesterday. And Brother Cooper told me this morning that he did a fine job, as he always does. And I appreciate that. It was a blessing. Now, Father, we do have some unspoken requests that we're not allowed to mention on the radio. But you know the needs. Father, I pray for these cases. I pray for the homes that need some help in the home. Father, I'm glad you are the home builder. You're the homemaker. And Father, I pray you'd put things together there in accordance with thy will. Father, I pray for those that are astray, those that have been saved and yet they're not living up to the point that they ought to be living to bring you the glory and honor. Father, I pray you'd help them and bring them back to a place of repentance and, Lord, a place of serving God, and then that sinners would be saved. Father, we pray and ask. And Lord, I pray, bless the broadcast. Use it for your glory. Have your way in all that's done, Lord. We pray in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready to go to a song now before the message that I bring today. And I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I'm going to play a song by the Primitive Quartet on our broadcast. But I've got the Primitive Quartet, one of their newer songs off of their newest album, a song that talks about salvation. And it uses scriptural words. It says, today is the day of salvation. And friend, it's really an invitation that's saying to you that if you've never been saved, today is the day you ought to call on the Lord. Today is the day you ought to flee to Jesus. You ought to fly to the Savior and call upon Him before it is too late. Amen. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And the Bible does say, today is the day of salvation. Here's the Primitive Quartet, and I believe this will be a good song that might be a blessing to you. Hope that it is. Here's the Primitive Quartet with Today is the Day of Salvation.
Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. I read verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, I want to try to preach on a thought tonight from verse 2, really. He opened his mouth. I want to preach on some things that Jesus opened. Amen. I said to you that I'm not preaching on the series there that we started last Sunday on the Sermon on the Mount. But when I started reading that, actually in the week this week, these thoughts started coming to me. I jotted them down over in the edge of the notes that I was taking for the sermon actually that I preached this morning. And I jotted these things down over on the side. And it just seemed like that the more I thought about it, the sweeter it was to me, the more that I felt like God would have me deliver it and maybe hopefully give you something that would be helpful to you. This phrase in verse number 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, as I said, the subject came to me, some things that Jesus opened. And I've written down 7 things that our Lord has opened. I want to point out to you, I thought of some others in there, but these are specific that God gave me to think on. Now, these are not alliterated as I try to do a lot of times, but these are just thoughts. The first one's right here in our text. And he opened his mouth. There was a time when he opened not his mouth. When he's standing before Pilate and he's being accused. When he's standing before Herod and he's being accused, he opened not his mouth. Isaiah said that as a lamb going to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth, and as one song said, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he opened not his mouth. But I'm glad for the times that he did open his mouth, for the times and the fact that our Lord was willing in the days of his life, in the days of his ministry here on earth, even in those days when he was terribly busy. This, I said to you this morning, was at the height of his popularity. I mean, they're bringing him sick folk by the multitudes. They're bringing him lame and blind and halt and maimed and all kinds of different problems. They're bringing them to our Lord. And yet our Lord was willing to take time, if I can say it this way, out of his busy schedule to gather his disciples together and open his mouth and teach them some things. Amen. There's a lot of things going on in the world. We know about some things we just hear on the news. We think about ISIS acting up. We think about trouble in the Middle East, the Palestinian uprising. We think about Syria and the problems going on over there. We think about the safety and the peace of Jerusalem and things that are going on there. If you want to say God's busy about a lot of things, but I'm glad he's interested enough in me and you that we can go to the house of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and Jesus Christ will open to us and give us something that will strengthen us and help us down the road. Amen. I'm sure you have been times that in your busy work schedule, or your just busy life schedule, that you felt like you just needed something from God. And maybe you just barely be able to drag yourself into the house of God and sit down on a pew, and it seemed as if the very song they sang, or the very testimony they told, or the very message from the Word of God was exactly what spoke to your heart. You know what that is? That's Jesus opening his mouth and teaching us. That's him helping us. He's still interested in helping people. Now, here's what I wrote this down. He was friendly in an unfriendly world. Amen. He was helpful to a hurting world. He was willing to teach an ignorant world. And he's still willing to open his mouth to those that will open their ears to hear what he's got to say to us this day. Amen. So he opened his mouth. Then secondly, over in Luke chapter number 4, and I have these consecutive in the scripture except for one. I've got one that's out of order. But Luke chapter 4 and verse number 17. If you know the book of Luke, you know that chapter 4, our Lord, of course, it begins with the temptation, but he's back in Nazareth at his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. The Bible talks about there, verse number 14, and down through there, verse number 16, how his custom was. He came to the synagogue, but look at verse number 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, amen. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, the thought that came to me there, jumped out, of course, is that he opened the book. If our Lord's going to help us today, he does not necessarily help us with dreams and visions. He does not necessarily help us with just a, as some people say, a word of knowledge. Just boom, out of the blue. Most of the time, and I'll say that in these days, he'll give you something from the Word of God. He'll open the Bible. He'll open the book. Now, as I said, it may be in a song or it may be in a testimony, but even in that, it will come from the book, the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm glad our Lord's words are not just his own words. They're the words of God. Amen. They are his words. They're the very words of the Bible. Amen. This present text reveals Christ was willing to stand in a synagogue. He was willing to stand in his hometown where he'd be without honor and tell them the wonderful words of life. Amen. He read the Word of God, and then where I stopped, the next verse says he closed the book and sat down. All the eyes were fastened upon him. I noticed this. I never noticed it before. I don't know how many times I read Luke 4, and I preached from it a number of times. But I noticed that our Lord stood to read and sat down to teach. And I thought, well, you know, I have you stand to read, and then you sit down. for me to teach and preach. I don't sit down, but I don't know if I'd have the lungs to be able to do that. But our Lord did that. But He stood, and here's what the thought that jumped out at me. It's almost as if, I know He stood, and that was that they might bring the book to Him. But also, they, of course, it was a scroll. We know that it was a scroll that they would open up, probably on a table, maybe on an elevated table, that like something we'd call a pulpit, which they would stand and read that scripture. But He stood up to let them know that He was willing to read, that He wanted to read. But also, I imagine He stood up to honor the Word of God, because He has exalted His Word even above His name, the Bible says. Amen. And He honors the very Word of God. But He stood up and He opened up the book. He opened His mouth, and when He opened His mouth, it came from the open book, the Bible. And I'm glad He was willing to expound those things to those that were listening. He's reading out of Isaiah, and He said to them, "This day, this is fulfilled in your eyes." Let me read on down and see if I can find that. In verse number 20, "And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Our Lord Jesus was the living embodiment of the Word of God. He was the living embodiment of the promise of God. All the promises of the Old Testament were wrapped up in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Amen. They were wrapped up in the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The promises of the kingdom, the promises of redemption, the promises, all the promises of God are wrapped up in this one man. But He was the Word of God incarnate. And He revealed that to them when He opened the book. Amen. Turn on to Luke chapter number 24 is the third one. And it's so similar. You remember, this is after the resurrection. It's actually the day of the resurrection. Luke 24, verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." And you know the story that they ran and told that Jesus wasn't there. Some said He's risen, but there was two disciples walking away from Jerusalem, walking towards Emmaus, is on the road to Emmaus, walking along, and the Lord revealed Himself to these two disciples along the way. Amen. And He began to talk with them, and He began to tell them, look at verse number 19. Let's go back there. Verse number 19, well, let's go back to 18. "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto Him, 'Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days?'" By the way, they didn't recognize Him. The Bible says their eyes were holden that they should not recognize Him. "But He'd also been beaten beyond recognition." Amen. Before the cross, and then even as He's on the cross, His body was so marred beyond human visage. And so they didn't recognize Him. All right, verse number 19. "And He said unto them, 'What things?' And they said unto Him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but Him they saw not.'" Look at verse 25. "And He said unto them, 'O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and He made as He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And He went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures?'" Now, you've got open eyes, but you've got open scriptures, and I want to pay notice to the open scriptures that are there. Do you no good? And by the way, your eyes would never be open if it weren't for the scriptures being open unto you. Amen. But He opened the scriptures. I said earlier that He opened the book. And in the case of our Lord, this case, he's no longer in a synagogue. He's no longer in a sanctuary. He no longer has a book, physical book that he can open. Amen. He's not on a mountain as he had been in the first one there in Matthew 5. He's not got the multitudes gathered around him. He's not got these whole gang of disciples. There's only two. Two lowly disciples. Now here's what's interesting to me. He did it with a crowd on the mountain. I don't know how many was in a synagogue, but I would think that it was probably a pretty crowded synagogue in that day, as was the Jewish custom to gather in on the synagogue. So he had a crowd. But here, he's interested in two lowly disciples that are concerned. Amen. As I said, he didn't have a book to open, but he had the book. He began at Moses. That's Genesis. He began at the beginning and went through the prophets. Amen. That's the whole entire Old Testament. And he pointed out the things that should happen to Christ. He had the book in his mind. He had the book in his heart. Now, they had to have some understanding of the book too. They had to have some understanding of Moses and the prophets and the things that he'd said. Amen. But he pulled from his memory. He pulled from the memory banks of the scriptures that have been placed in his heart, and that have been hidden in his heart, God's predestined plan that God had made, and the plan had been made that he was going to offer his son on Calvary for the sins of mankind. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.